We are going to start on a journey of spiritual warfare, and it's probably going to be a little different than anything you've ever experienced before. You know, a lot of times when we teach on spiritual warfare, and I've taught this way, we just throw a bunch of scriptures. You know, people know, this is your scriptures. You got to believe it. You got to step into it. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. And what we're going to do is we're going to find out a few things about spiritual warfare. I want to tell a story. Years ago, we were in a prayer group that was praying for this area of the Northern Hills. Cindy and I have been involved in prayer over the Northern Hills for over 40 years. And we've been here for over 40 years, probably, 42 years is when we started praying. And there was an individual there that was learning. We were very fortunate to have a pastor at that time that understood spiritual warfare, that taught spiritual warfare. And I hope that a lot of what he imparted to me, I can impart to you, because it literally brought a revival into the Northern Hills. A lot of the churches that have been planted over the last 40 years, a lot of the revivals that have happened here were because of that teaching and the truths that were brought into that and the people that have been praying ever since. And we were praying, and this one individual who was just learning how to pray, you know, with authority, started yelling. Got a little excited. Sometimes you get a little excited when you're praying. And got a little excited, starts yelling, "Satan, I stomp on your head. I stomp on your..." And he started just screaming all these things at Satan. And man, I and our pastor, we grabbed him real quick, and we said, "Shut up." He goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "You can't stomp on Satan's head. Don't you pick a fight with him." He had no aspect or no understanding that it's not us that does the war, it's God. And so we need to know who we are. We need to know where we're at. This is really serious stuff. Amen. A lot of people in the church, and God has called this church to get serious. A lot of people in the church, They're like people watching a parade, and all the soldiers, all the Christian soldiers are marching by. But they're people that are like children, and they're just there for the candy. And this isn't about the candy. This is about praying lives into the kingdom. Lives like Bob Doyle, lives like a lot of people that we've seen over the years that, man, I tell you, we just started praying for them, and God brought them to the kingdom. God brought them to a place where they knew Christ as their Savior, and it's warfare. It's warfare, and it's very serious. Now, there's another group of Christians that basically they were marching in this army, and they got tired, or maybe they got beat up, or maybe they misunderstood something or were taught something, you know, that isn't biblical. And so they deserted. And now they're standing on the sidelines a little bit further, maybe behind the children, going, "Those poor suckers are going to get their butts kicked." And that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. You get to the place in your walk with Christ, when darkness comes, just like Kelsey said, when darkness comes, you know that the light of God is hovering over you at all times. And all you need to do is call it down. And we're going to learn how to do that. We're going to learn how God's light, how God's power in our life can do amazing things. And in order to do that, we need to be like Paul, who in 2 Timothy 4:7, at the end of his life, he says this, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Paul, he did not go to the parade and wait for the candy. And Paul did not desert and stand back there and say, "Those fools are going to get their hind ends handed to them." Paul knew what it was like to fight the good fight. I mean, we know about his life. We know that he was stoned. We know that he was persecuted. We know that he was chased out of the Hebrew faith. We know all these things, but we also know the impact that he had, because he was a soldier of God, and he understood the impact that the power of his prayers had. When we look at some of the prayers that Paul prayed over the churches, the Ephesian churches especially, we're going to be in Ephesians a lot, because Ephesians is a spiritual warfare chapter. And when we see that, we see the prayers Paul prayed. He didn't pray those just so he could just, well, this is a really nice prayer. I'm going to write it down. Somebody's going to really like this one someday. He prayed those prayers, and we can continue to pray like that to see God do incredible things. And so I'm excited for us, and I'm excited for you, okay? But if you've just been standing alongside watching the parade, it's time to put your candy in your bag and start paying attention, because God's got some incredible things for us. Incredible things. To be effective in spiritual warfare, you need to know three things, okay? You need to know who you are. You need to know who the enemy is. And you need to know how to fight. I was talking to somebody this past week who has been a first responder his whole life, and very confident, knows his stuff, okay? And I said, what do you think is the most important thing when you get into a situation where you realize that there is nobody there that has a clue? He said the most important thing to do when you show up and nobody has a clue is act like you do and know that you do. And he does. When he shows up, he starts saying, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, okay? I'm going to show you who you are. And then you're going to start living differently. That's going to be the first thing we're going to do. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to find out who the enemy is. Now, this may come as a shock, or maybe sometimes we forget this. The enemy is not our spouse. The enemy is not our children. The enemy is not co-workers. The enemy is not a lot of things. But we forget this, don't we? Don't we? You know, Cindy and I, we were goofing around last night, you know, and we joke around and we have a lot of fun, you know. But sometimes she'll say something, you know, and I'll go, wow, you know, ouch, you know. Yeah, I gotta treat her nicer or better or something. And we need to realize who the enemy is. Who is the enemy? The enemy is the devil, and he is a thief, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the only purpose he has in creation. Think about that. How would you like to have the purpose of killing, stealing, and destroying? That's his purpose. He's not a nice guy. He's not going to give you a deal that cuts you some slack. Whatever he does in your life, it's to kill you, to steal from you, or to destroy you. So it's pretty, okay? But he uses all kinds of mediums to do that. He uses, you know, he sometimes uses our computers, doesn't he, or our smartphones, or he uses, you know, the attitudes and the actions of people around us. But we need to realize he's the enemy. He is the enemy. He's using these things. And how to fight. You got to learn how to fight. A long time ago, I came home. I think I was in kindergarten. And I come home and I got beat up. And I was really upset. And granted, the kid that beat me up was a little bit bigger, a little bit tougher, a little bit meaner. And my dad says, now look, I never want you to start a fight, but I don't, you know. But if somebody starts a fight, you finish it. And that's still kind of my attitude with the devil. You want to start a fight, I will finish it in the power of Christ. You better watch. I will not give up. I will die before I stop. That's just the way that when you get to that point where you're a soldier in Christ, you realize something. When you go into war, there's a high possibility you're going to die. And once you get over the fear of death, you can be a soldier. But anyway, my dad says, now, you know, if somebody starts when you're going to finish it. So he taught me how to box. Yeah. And about a week later, my dad got called into the principal's office. Because I was in the principal's office. Because this kid, he was a bully, and he picked on me, and I gave him a black eye, and I broke his nose. And I only hit him twice. Because my dad knew how to box, you know. And my dad, you know, they you know, scolded me and everything, and my dad was standing there, and he said, wait a minute, Mrs. Lee. And Mrs. Lee was the scariest person I've ever had in my life. She was the principal of Wilson Elementary School. And she, you know, like the Far Side scary people that wear those glasses that are real scary, you know, those really pointy cat's eye glasses, you know. Anyway, she kind of, wow, she really lit into me. I thought I was going to get the paddle, because back then, you know, I hadn't got the paddle yet, but I was pretty sure that was probably coming. My dad got there, and she was chewing me out, and this other kid was nowhere to be seen. Of course, you know, he was down the nurse, and they're, oh, you poor thing, you know, Jim Roberts, you know, beat you up, you poor thing, you know. So I was the bad guy here. And so finally she kind of got to my dad, says, Mrs. Lee, excuse me, but who started this fight? And she just stopped. And then he said, Mrs. Lee, have you had any other problems with this kid that my son, you know, basically, you know, pounded into the ground? And she just stopped. She thought, well, yeah. Almost every confrontation that we'd had in that class, he was involved in. And not all of them on them, you know. And he said, look, he said, my son is not going to get beat up by some bully. And the thing is if you know how to fight, you're not going to get beat up by some bully. Now, the world might look at you and think you're the bully. You know? Sometimes the world's like, we say, no, that's not right. And they're like, oh, you just do not understand. You're just not accepting. No, I'm accepting and I love everybody, but I'm not going to accept their sin. And I'm not going to let that sin influence my life or the life of my family or my church or my country. That doesn't make me a bully. That doesn't make me mean. That doesn't make me narrow-minded. It just makes me a child of God and a soldier. When you go into war, sometimes things get ugly. And that's why we need to know who we are, who the enemy is, and how to fight. So, who are we? Who are you? Let's go over to James 1, 22 and 25. In the 22nd verse, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Don't just listen and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. See, a lot of Christians are listening to the word, but they're not applying that word. So they're deceived. And unfortunately, there's a lot of deceived Christians because they're just watching the parade, you know? It says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away immediately. Whoa. And he forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this is not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, if you'll notice, what James is talking about here is he's talking about repetition. Those of you that teach, or those of you that have been involved in teaching, or those of you who have been taught, you know that repetition is very, very important in our learning. Repetition. And repetition in reminding yourself who you are in God is very, very, very important. In fact, the great philosopher Zig Ziglar, I like Zig. I think his stuff, some of his stuff's pretty cool. And this is what he said. He said, repetition is the mother of learning, the father of action, which makes it the architect of accomplishment. You see, if you really want to do something and do it well, you put repetition into your repertoire. That's why they call it repertoire, because you repeat it and you repeat it and you repeat it. There's a reason the artists can play very, very proficiently, is they repeat and they repeat and they repeat until it's just a part of them, okay? Repetition is the mother of learning and the father of action. When you start repeating something and when you start reminding yourself who you are in God, pretty soon, it's how you act. It's how you act, which makes it the architect of accomplishment. Now, I was talking about my friend who's a first responder, he's not a really big guy. And I remember a few years ago, he got a brand new car. And he parked at the grocery store, and he ran into the grocery store to get something, and his wife was sitting in the car. And when he got back in the car, she said, that guy right next to you door dinged your car. And so he got out and he looked at it, and sure enough, there was a door ding. And he looked, you know, in this pickup next door, and he says, hey, excuse me, you door dinged my car. And the guy goes, no, I didn't. And the guy goes, are you calling my wife a liar? And man, he just bristled up. Have you ever watched a Chihuahua back down a German Shepherd? If you know who you are in the Lord, you're not going to back up. And this guy will, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you're right, I'm sure, you know. And he said he got in the car, and afterwards he realized that guy was about a 300-pounder, and this guy weighs 170 pounds dripping wet, you know, because I could have got killed. But you see, he knows who he is. He knows that, hey, look, I'm a first responder. I'm somebody who takes action. I'm somebody that gets the job done. And that's what we need to realize as soldiers in Christ, as sons and daughters of God, we need to realize who we are. You see, when you learn to ride a bike, when you learn to play an instrument, drive a car, play a sport, first you need to learn the essential skills. And that's what we're doing here today. With spiritual warfare, you need to learn those essential skills. And it's all about practice and repetition. It really is. It's about knowing who you are and reminding yourself of that over and over and over. Could you go back to our first slide, the one with the Bible in the fist? There's a reason that I'm starting out spiritual warfare like this. If you know what's in the Word of God, you can hold the Word of God up against the enemy, and he cannot penetrate it. That's you holding the Word of God, and that's the enemy trying to deliver a blow. And I'll tell you, the Word of God is powerful. It is active. We're going to learn about that, okay? But you need to know, first of all, in the Word of God, who you are. Who am I? What do I do? Why do I do it? Okay? The Word of God must be put into your mind daily. From there, it soaks into your heart and your spirit, and eventually you start acting and doing because you know who you are, and you don't forget it because the Word reminds you daily. I mean, there are so many promises, so many scriptures. There's so much foundation. But you know something? You can listen to it. And if that's all you do, you're going to forget it. If you don't take it home, if you don't get up in the morning, if you don't study it out, if you don't believe it, it's never going to get from your ears to your brain to your heart. That's the longest journey known to man, is from our ears to our brain to our heart. And you know, you talk to people, it's like, wow, man, they're so brave. And you know, you ever notice that people don't say, wow, they are so smart and so they are brave. No, they are so brave. Man, they got the heart of what? A lion. They've got a heart of a warrior. I don't know how God does it, but eventually when we realize who we are in God and we start seeing the enemy being pushed back, we realize that I don't have to put up with a lot of stuff that the enemy's been dumping on me, or I don't have to be anxious about a lot of stuff. And people are saying, oh, you've grown to the point where, you don't even see demonic forces anymore. No, I see demonic forces when I pray. I see them up close, personal, and real. When I close my eyes and I start praying, demons are just as real to me as you are sitting right here. But you want to know who's realer? God and angels. The Scripture says that all angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. And only a third of the angels left heaven. That means that we got 2 to 1. So when I see a spiritual battle of angels against demons, I see one angel holding a demon and the other one just beating the crap out of him. Because that's the truth of the Word. And that's the truth of the Word. And you want to know something? A lot of people are like, oh man, there's darkness and I don't know if God's here. If you're there, God's there. And if God put you there, he sent a regiment or a legion of angels ahead of you to take care of the situation. But the enemy wants to trick you because the enemy, he's a guerrilla warfare. He wants you to make there might only be one or two things going on, but he wants you to think there's thousands of things going on to distract you and to destroy you and to pull you away from that purpose and that mission that God has for you. That's what he is about. He's about killing, stealing, and destroying, and lying. He's a good liar. You can always tell when the enemy is lying. His lips move. So, who are we? To know who you are in Christ, you need to know who you are not.
That's right.
You know, how many of you have ever been in the military? Or any kind of training whatsoever, okay? You know how this goes. You get to boot camp, and they make sure that you know who you are not. You are no longer your own boss. And you are a worthless pile of poo. Because they remind you of that. Your drill sergeant is in your life to make sure that you realize that you are totally worthless all by yourself. Because guess what? They're in the process of reminding you that as a member of the United States Armed Forces, you are a dangerous individual if you stay in their formation, in their order, in their power, but all by yourself. You ain't nothing. And you see, so many times we think that when things get rough and we don't think God is there, we think, oh man, God hates me and he's abandoned me. No, he's just reminding you that, you know, all by yourself, it ain't happening. And just like a new recruit, what do we need to do? Surrender to Christ. Surrender to his headship. And so many people think that Christianity is a democracy and you can just vote yourself wherever you think you belong. God is the commander-in-chief. He is God. His Son is there, the Holy Spirit. And all of heaven, everything is under the headship of Christ. Who are we? Well, apart from you, Lord, I have no good thing. That's what Scripture says in Psalms. Apart from you. And the minute we step out of our covering, the minute we step out of what God has for us, the minute we step out and we start doing things with our own reasoning or our own thought process, or just, you know, it's like one private wandering into the enemy lines all by himself, and the enemy looks at him and is like, let's just shoot that fool. Now, if we stay where God wants us, if we grow where God wants us, if we're taking orders from God, watch out. Watch out. It gets incredibly, incredibly adventurous. God can do some amazing things. Okay, so you need to know, you need to forget what the world has told you you are. And you do that by coming to God. You come into basic training, and that's kind of what this is. It's basic training. And this first week is probably going to be the hardest one, okay? Because we're going to be looking at who we are not and who we need to be. You see, the military got this whole technique of training from the Bible. If we go to Ephesians 4:17, it says this. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord. This is where Paul, he writes to the Ephesian church and he says, you know, you guys, you're doing okay, but this. Okay, I'm going to tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Paul says, if you think like the world thinks, you're going to get your hind end handed to you. It's not going to be pretty. You got to quit thinking in the futility of your thinking. Just like the world does. Because you know why? Here's a little saying you need to remember. You live as you think. You live as you think. Now you're thinking, well, man, I get up and I read my Bible and I pray and everything. Okay? Well, let's just think. What are some of the futile thoughts that float around in your head every once in a while? It's like, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good, really. How'd you do the last time somebody cut you off in traffic? Do you realize that on one trip to, I counted yesterday, Cindy's like, yeah, these are people from, they're people from Thailand, I think. They forget that Monday is Sunday. So some of our Thailand friends are like, hi, Pastor Jim. I was like, hi, it's Sunday here, it's Monday there. Anyway, I counted yesterday, 7. 7 times I thought in the futility of my thoughts because people cut me off. I was like, what are you thinking? You know, I'm driving. You know, and I think maybe God did it just as, because usually, I mean, you know, you drive to Rapid and there's a few people that are just a little crazy. You know, I mean, a few people. I mean, I go there once in a while, so I might probably be included in that. But I mean, you know, you're like driving along and somebody just, whoo, right in front of you, between you and a semi, you know, and I start thinking futile thoughts, like, Maybe we should just go NASCAR and I should bump their quarter panel. See, I'm human. We're all human. Although there was one guy, he comes busting by us in a work zone, and I said out loud to Cindy, oh, please, God, let there be a highway patrolman. Please, 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 please. You know? See, it doesn't take much for us to have futile thoughts. And so we're gonna look at that a little bit. But futile worldly thinking must die so that we can be the spiritual warrior that God has empowered us to be. Futile thinking is we're thinking what? Well, we're thinking, number one, we can get this thing done. Let's just go to our 3 points. Futile thinking is not understanding who the enemy is. That driver is the enemy. No, he's not. And futile thinking is, oh, I can fight this. I can get this done when we really don't know how to fight. Okay? So how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we change our mindset from thinking we know who we are to knowing who we are? And there's a process. And I started this process years and years ago, and I still do this process, okay? In fact, the reason you're being taught this is because I'm doing this process again of learning and relearning and fortifying who I am as a warrior in Christ in my spiritual warfare, okay? This is how you do it. By finding the I ams and not the I am nots. By finding the I ams and not the I am nots. Before we get to the scripture that shows us that, okay, one of the many scriptures, I want to point something out. Who did God tell Moses that he was? When Moses says, well, you know, when they ask me who you are, and Moses said, tell them I am. Okay, God is. What is he? He's everything. He's all sufficient. I mean, we can go through this for hours, what God is. Now I want you to think about something. You are created in the image of who? God. So God wants his kids to look like him. God wants his kids to act like him. And God wants his kids and has purposed his kids to take the world for him. Spiritually, God wants us to do that. It never, ever, ever in the Bible anywhere does it say, well, who are you, God? Well, I am not. I mean, we know what God's not. God is not unfaithful. But God never said, I'm not. Because he is. he said, I am this. So I want us to go to Ephesians 1, 3 through 10. And for those of you that got a bulletin this morning, good for you. I've got bulletins and pins out in the back. When you leave, I want you to take one of these bulletins. Because in the bulletin, I've put this scripture. And this is what I want you to do this week so that we can start growing as spiritual warriors. So I want you to read this. And I want you to go through and I want you to underline the I ams. I want you to underline the I ams. Now, I could really be hardcore and I could tell you to read the book of Ephesians every day for the next week. That's what my pastor did to me. And it was very helpful. I encourage you, if you want to read the book of Ephesians, it's very helpful. When you start reading through Ephesians and you find all the I ams, I am this, I am this. Listen, let's say it. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms. I am what? Blessed? Yeah. With every spiritual blessing in Christ, I am walking in every spiritual blessing in Christ. I am. It says so right there. For he chose us, and we sang about that this morning. We praised and worshiped God because I am chosen. I don't know how God does that. Some people are like, how does he do that? I'm like, who cares? He did it. Amen. He chose us. Get over it. Don't make a religion out of it. Just walk in it, right? He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I am holy and blameless in God's sight. When the enemy tries to humiliate you, when the world tries to tear you down, you remember something. We all make mistakes, but when you go back to God and say, okay, God, I made a mistake. Please forgive me. The blood of Jesus pours over you, and you are holy and blameless. I am holy and blameless in his sight. When my thoughts get futile, I'm holy and blameless, and I can come right back. In love, he predestined us. I am predestined. Oh, wow, we could really go off on this one. We could turn this into a philosophy, couldn't we? We could all sit around, put our thumbs together and go, how can we be predestined? I don't know, but we are. You know, we need to accept the fact that God is so incredible and so huge and so large. He can do these things, and it builds our faith even greater, and we realize that that light that is over us is so amazing that He can do this. He can see through everything, every situation, every thought, anything we ever dreamed, and He can say, okay, you're going to be adopted. You want to know something? I'm adopted. My youngest grandson is adopted. I know what adoption looks like. It looks like a whole bunch of people see you, you know, especially your mom and dad. God sees you and He goes, man, I love that kid. That kid is adopted. I'm going to adopt that kid. I had an adopted grandma and grandpa. And they were probably a little bit better than the real ones. Maybe it's because they tried harder. I don't know. But we're adopted. Man, I'm glad I'm adopted. Come on. We're all glad we're adopted. Our families are messed up. We need to be adopted by God, right? Our family tree needs pruned, people. Yeah. God says, okay, you're adopted. I'm adopted as His son through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. I am His pleasure and will. Have you ever thought about that? God created us to be His good pleasure, and He created us to be His will, to walk in His will. And when I'm in Christ Jesus, I am that, okay? I am the praise of His glorious grace. This morning, as we were praising God, as we joined in with the heavens in heaven, and the angels in heaven, and we're praising, we are, I am, okay? The praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption. I'm redeemed. And I was bought back. I was sold into slavery by my old self. And God says, no, you're not going to be a slave anymore. I'm going to buy you back. You're redeemed in Christ Jesus through the blood of Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of sin. I'm forgiven. Man, I don't know about you, but forgiveness is awesome, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, have you ever been in a situation where, you know, man, maybe it was out of your control and things happened, but you know, okay, I was in this situation. I need to ask for forgiveness. You do, and that person, they say, man, I forgive you. On the other hand, have you ever had somebody just kind of look at you and walk off, push you away? You know, I'm glad that God didn't walk off and push me away. I'm glad. I am forgiven. It's the most wonderful thing. You know that when I spend that time with God every day, or those times with God every day, I can go there and say, I'm forgiven, okay? In accordance with the riches of God's grace. I am the riches of God's grace. You know, and I'm not saying this arrogantly. You're like, whoa, he's kind of stepping out there a little bit, okay? But no, I'm not. This is Scripture. This is how God sees us. This is how the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. And this is how this prayer has been handed down to us. And he's saying, this is who we are. This is who we are as warriors, as sons and daughters. He has given us the riches of His grace. So once He gives you something, once He imparts something into your life, you are that. But the thing is so many times we say, I don't want that one. You know why? Because every time God gives you something, there's responsibility. There's responsibility. If God gives you His riches and His grace, then you're going to have to be graceful. Yeah, right. Some of us are very socially awkward. Anyway, yep. The riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. You know, God lavishes His wisdom and understanding on us. So once He lavishes on you, what are you? You're His wisdom. You're that understanding. You're that wisdom that God brings to the table when it's needed. You're that understanding, you know, listener. You're that understanding voice, okay? And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. You have maybe never thought about this before. You know, when we we read the mystery of God's will. What is it? What is the mystery of God's will? Cindy got it. Us. We're the mystery of God's will. I mean, could anything be more mysterious than God using you? I mean, think about it. I was like, whoa, God uses me. That's mysterious. That's creepy. I mean, some people look at you and they're like, whoa, boy, now that is a mystery. One time I was baptizing someone I went to high school with. And I said to them as I was baptizing them, kind of being a smart aleck, which you should not do because baptism is very serious. But I said, well, I never dreamed I'd be baptizing you. You know what they said back? I never dreamed you'd be baptizing anybody. That's the mystery of God's will right there, let me tell you, okay? And he made known to us the mystery of will according to his good pleasure. It's his good pleasure for you to be the mystery of his will. I want him to be pleased because God's given me that. I am that, which he purposed in Christ. I am purposed in Christ. I know sometimes, you know, you feel like, yeah, my purpose is either run out or I'm not sure what it is or I don't know where it went. And I think I've been waiting forever for something. And, you know, you are that purpose in Christ. And I want you to read that about what you were reading when you close. The one about everyday little things, that one. Okay. Anyway, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effort when the times have reached their fulfillment to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. I am under one head, even Christ. Do you know what a comfort that is? I am under one head, even Christ. When we serve Christ, and when all of the rest of the world screams, no, that's the wrong way to go, that's the wrong thing to do, that's not right, we can just say, no, I know what Jesus says, I know what Jesus would do, and I am under one head. And that head is Christ. I've got one general, and that general is Christ. Do you know how amazing it is to be under that kind of a covering of authority? My grandpa Jim, who was my adopted grandpa, he rocked the world. My grandpa Jim was a nuclear safety specialist. He helped design NORAD. He was the fire chief at Ellsworth. And this doesn't always happen in the military, but sometimes you have somebody that's in a key location like that, and so they answer to one person. My grandpa, he followed the commands of the base commander. He followed everything the way the military wanted him to follow. But when it got down to nuclear safety, the only person that he answered to was a 5-star general. And he had a direct line to that guy, and he could call him at any time and say, okay, this is what's going on. What do I do? And my grandpa told me that after he'd retired and after the missiles had been, you know, kind of decommissioned. And you know what he said? And he was a godly Christian man. And he said this. He said, Jim, do you know how comforting it is to know that you have one commander? And he said, do you know how comforting it is to know that your one commander is Jesus Christ, and you answer to him? And he told me this when I was going through a very, very hard time in my life, when everybody in my life except Cindy pretty much had thrown me under the bus. He said, you only answer to one commander, and that commander is Jesus Christ, and that's who I am, that's who you are. I am under one head, even Christ. So there's your scripture for the week. There's the beginning of remembering, or maybe once again remembering, but it's a place where we start learning to a greater degree. Every time I go through this, I learn something more about my Christ and about who I am. about who I am. In fact, honestly, I had a greater revelation on that. I'm his mystery. I like mysteries. And I like it that I'm a mystery. And you are not going to go to the end and figure out what the punchline is. Because I'm God's mystery. So there. You see, every time you go through this, for the rest of your life, you go back and you say, okay, who am I? I want to find out my I am's not, my I am's not. Every time you do this, you'll find out. So here's your boot camp assignment this week. If you want to improve your spiritual warfare, look at this scripture at least once a day and go through it and underline, first of all, underline who you are. Okay? Day one, if you can remember this, great. If not, write it down. Day one, underline all the things that you know you are. And then the rest of the week, underline those things that God says you are. Because you want to know something, you'll be reading through that, and it was like, wow, I don't know if I've got every, yeah, I've got every, well, how about that? Well, I don't know. Am I chosen? I don't know if I want to be chosen. You know, when God says, you know, who wants to do this? How many of us are like, me, me, me? Or how many of us are like, okay. It's like, you know, somebody step forward and the whole line, except one guy that's not very smart, just stays there and everybody else steps back, right? So just go through this. First day, go through this and say, you know, I'm confident in this, this, and this, and this. And then the rest of the week, I want you to go through it and underline it because that's who God says you are. Okay? Are we good? No, you guys, some of you guys look like deer in the headlights back there, you know, they're like kind of scaring me a little bit, okay? But I want you to do this, okay? Because I love you so much. I want you to grow in this. And this is a beginning. And don't be scared because I am praying the forces of heaven over you as you go through this, okay? I am praying the Holy Spirit will saturate you, give you revelation and understanding like you've never had, and we'll start seeing God move in the lives of people we just pretty much tossed under the bus. I mean, we've all been tossed under the bus by somebody at one point in time, and God never has. So I encourage you to do this, okay? Let's pray, okay? Father, I thank you so much that you tell us who we are. And I pray, Lord, as we start on this journey to learn who we are, to learn who you are, I pray, Father, that we will get revelation, and not just revelation that's in our head, but revelation that moves down to our heart. So, Father, we end up with hearts like our King Jesus, who is a roaring lion, who is the mighty warrior. He's the one that goes before us. And Father, I pray we remember that as we learn who we are. We especially know who you are, Jesus. You are our shield and our comforter. You are our sword and our salvation. You are our protection. You are the power and the light that pushes back the darkness. We thank you for that, Lord. We praise you. And I pray that you would open up our eyes to see more than we've ever seen before. In Jesus' name, amen.